For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Show. I'm Caroline Parker. Coming up this week, we'll talk to the manager who made a move, but was it for money? And also, talking of moves, well, we've got a big one you might like to go on if you pay a couple of quid. It will all become clear. The heavy sighs in the background, mainly because he's not presenting the show this week. A former AFC Wimbledon and Harrow manager, and many more besides, Dave Anderson joins us.
Yeah, what you should have said was former presenter.
All right, sorry. We've all been former presenters.
Absolutely. Listen, boss, it was a real eye-opener. I enjoyed it once, you know, it was great. But nice to be Axe manager again.
Do you know what I liked was that it sounded a little bit like you were reading.
Well, that's how bad it was.
It wasn't.
I refused to read because you know what my reading's like.
For those that haven't listened to when Dave Anderson did presenting, you can still download the managerial special, which sounds like it was a markdown to 20p. It is well worth a listen. And I have listened to more than just the start of it, and it is well worth listening to. And if you do listen to it, why not give us a rating on iTunes too? Because that all helps. If they're good, I'll take it into account as overall time. Mm. If they're bad, I'll say it was just on last week.
See you in the job market Monday.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Anderson.
Yes, and to you, boss, yeah.
Did you catch any football over the Christmas
period? Yes, I went to Wilston and Maidenhead on Boxing Day. Obviously, we'd been there on a Thursday night recording show with Gordon, so it was a nice link to go in. I was hoping to get a word with Alan Devonshire after the game, but he didn't come in the bar. He didn't have the hump. I know the loss, but he'd spoke to Gordon and said, look, I need to shoot off. So I missed out on him.
The context to this, of course, Alan Devonshire is currently the Maidenhead United manager. They're top of the National South and look for all the world to see like they're going to go up into the National. But then they lose to Wheelstone, which was their first defeat in about 5 years, wasn't it?
And to be fair, it was one of them strange games. The first half was really sort of cagey and not much fun, to be honest, for a neutral. Second half, it took off. Wheelstone went one up. Once Maidenhead equalised, you always felt Maidenhead were going to win it, and we're on top when typical football, Wheelstone break away, score a really good goal. And then looked comfortable with it. So big result for Gordon. He was happy after the game. Had a quick chat with him. And as I say, I didn't get to see Alan, but I know it wasn't about him huffing because he's not that sort of guy. And I must thank sort of Leo and the people at Wilson for looking after us over the two occasions because, you know, they were excellent.
And of course, they got to go again, haven't they? These return fixtures on New Year's Day. My side, Chelmsford.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting, because sorry.
Again. Go on.
No, I got to see Dave Tarpey, you know, because he's in a Richmond in a form and, you know, he didn't score in a day, missed sort of one sort of reasonable chance, but looked quite sort of lively. And obviously, any scouts throughout the game must have been sort of there, sort of looking at him, you know, but looks a handful, looks quite active in and around the box.
Yeah, Dave Tarpey, currently a top scorer in the National South, and all sorts of rumours that he's going to get his pro move come January as well. Well, enough about talking about perhaps your scouting abilities. We've heard about your presentation abilities. Your pundit abilities never in doubt, apart from just once recently, Dave Anderson. Your inside man at Eastleigh telling you who they were going to appoint didn't get it right because it was Martin Allen.
He was a million miles off it, wasn't he? There's one thing I did say to you. I texted you about 10 minutes after the show, didn't I, to say that I'd heard it was Martin, didn't I? But it was too late then.
Yeah, funny how you heard it was Martin as the club announced it was Martin. Let's talk to Martin Allen. He joins us now, the new manager at Eastleigh. Hiya, Martin.
Evening, Caroline. Evening, Dave.
Hiya, mate.
How are you? How have times been at Eastleigh?
I'm fine, thank you. Certainly room for improvement on the footballing side, but apart from that, me, myself, I'm fine. Thank you very much for asking.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. That's enough of the niceties. Now, why did you take it, Mr. Allen? Why go for the Eastleigh job?
Well, I'd had three very good years at Barnet. You know, went from sort of eighth in the conference to, I think it was eighth in Division 2. In a very good position, with some very good young players coming through. And I just felt it was time for me personally to have a fresh challenge. And when I took the telephone call from my chairman at Barnet, he gave me permission to talk to him. And I suppose it's sometimes refreshing to, you know, meet with somebody else and see what their plans and ideas are for the future. And, you know, I thought now was the time to go and leave on good standing with everybody at Barnet. I don't think anybody could have any complaints about the work I've done there for 3 years. And it's time for a new challenge, basically.
Yeah, and to be fair, Martin, you know, you've had a sort of great association with Barnet three or four times now. You know, gone there and it's been successful for you more or less every time. I mean, what people will chuck at you, and I'm not talking about you personally because I don't think it's anyone else's busy business what you earn, but people will say that money must have something to do with this. If you're going to drop down a division to take a side, it's basically a division below. They're sort of not outside getting in off the playoffs, but they're 10 points away from it, whereas Barnet a little bit closer. But was it finances? And I don't mean your personal stuff, Martin. I mean, was there a package out you thought, well, this can float my boat for the next few years to be successful?
Well, people can throw, as you described it, what they like. Yes, it is a fantastic package that they've been offered to go there. Yes, it is very rewarding. You know, why should I sit here and deny that?
I don't think you should.
It's absolutely yeah. true. But my friend is my friend makes candlesticks, and he earns £400 a week. And a bloke on the other side of town offered him £700 a week, and he left his job to go and make candlesticks for another couple of hundred quid a week. And I think 99% of the population will probably do exactly the same. In my job, 99% of the people, 99% of the people deny it and just say, oh, blah, blah, blah. And when I left to go to Notts County from Barnet all those years ago, I just come out and said quite clearly and quite plainly, it's the best financial move for my family. And so is this one. So I'm at work. And when I got the sack after winning the league at various jobs, you know, nobody gives you money to pay your mortgage.
Yeah, no, and listen, I love you for it. And when I say, you know, when you're talking about going across town to make candles for more money, you don't go across town to make candles for more money if you're rubbish at making candles. So the fact that, you know, you have to be successful to get these offers, and I appreciate that. Get away from that side of it, the budget and the package for the dressing room and what you're going to do and your plans there, that must also play a big part in it as well.
Yeah, it certainly has, Dave. Without that ambition and a desire, if you like, from the chairman and the finance and the wealth behind them, obviously it would be a far difficult job. But right at this moment in time, I'm only interested in cutting the budget and cutting the amount of players. There's 28 players plus four young pros, which is far, far too many. So there's a lot of work to be done behind the scenes to try and get it and stabilise it into a good position. So there's a lot of work to be done before it's going to actually, you've got to go backwards, I think, before we're going to go forwards.
I've been sitting here very much enjoying the candle analogies, four candles and Christmas and all hours and all that. So, but for you, Martin, now, you say you might have to take a step backwards. What's the immediate target then for this season?
To win on Saturday. To win our next game.
Don't give me that. What have you said you will achieve by the end of this season?
Caroline, at this moment in time, I do not know. I haven't seen all the players play yet because I haven't been able to get, a reserve team game. I know I've got a decent squad. They're decent people in training for the past few weeks. They've really been a good bunch of lads. They really have accepted the desire and the need to work harder. To make it better for Eastleigh Football Club and represent really the chairman's investment. The results have been okay. They haven't been great. We've got an important cup game against Brentford next week. And then just after that, we play Forest Green. We play, as I said earlier, Boreham Wood again on Saturday. And so I suppose the next three games are going to be pivotal, really, on how the season's going to pan out. Of course, in ambition-wise, we want to get into the playoffs. But at the moment, with the current form, that's not looking likely.
And to be fair, Martin, you know, you're talking about 28 players being too many. These big games are coming around and the window's about to open. Much business going to be done in the window for you? Players out or in?
Dave, to be honest, I think it's going to be an opportunity for some players to leave and go and get first team football and play games week in, week out. And I really want to help those players find new clubs. We have got one or two offers out and about on players at this moment in time, which we're waiting to hear back on right now. So we do need to strengthen, but we've got to cut the wage bill and we've got to make it a more sensible squad. With only 5 subs, I don't see why you need more than 19 players. And at the moment, like I say, 28 plus another 4 young pros, there's not a looking for anyone.
So you say you're not looking for anyone, because we were just talking about Dave Tarpey, who's scoring for fun for Maidenhead at the moment. You wouldn't look further down to pinch a few?
Oh, yeah, he's a good player. Crikey, out on the left wing, he also scored a lot of goals.
Yep.
His goal that he scored just a couple of weeks ago was one of the best I've ever seen. He plays not too far from where I live, and I have seen him. But I think I've got at the moment, I've got about 5 centre-backs, 5 central midfield players, 4 forwards, 3 right-backs, 2 left-backs, 3 goalkeepers. You can't just carry them all, and it's impossible. Mm. You can have the best group of players, best team, but after a while, they're not going to be very happy. And I need to look after those players and find them some clubs pretty soon before really we start bringing in players. Although, Caroline, I must say, we have got offers out for players at the moment to try and bring in to the team. Not into the squad, but into the team to start and help us kickstart the season, really, and get us going.
Dave Tarpey?
No, we haven't made an offer for him, no. I honestly don't feel it's fair to talk about other players from other clubs with the managers. I wouldn't like it. So
yeah,
Aaron Bovinch has done a fantastic job there. And he's got a really, really strong group of players at Maidenhead. And, I'd only talk to Alan before I spoke to anybody if there was any deal to be done.
No, I think, that's absolutely fair comment, Martin. The one I'd like that we'll probably leave you on is that, you know, Brentford, I believe, is one of your old clubs that you can back there for the FA Cup. But yet again, no FA Cup or no TV coverage for non-league clubs at this stage of competition. That's got to be a disappointment for everyone in non-league, which includes you now.
I think it's more than a disappointment, Dave, to be honest. I think it's outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. I don't know how and why the TV companies are allowed to do it. It should be, the money should be spread out across the country to all levels of football, including grassroots, the lower level clubs, and the big power boys at the top of the table in the Premier League are just making more and more money and making it more and more difficult for the clubs at the bottom. And no, I don't like it. I don't agree with it. I love going to watch non-league games, Division 2 games. It's fantastic how strong the conference is now, with the stadiums and the crowds, and what they've done at Lincoln is brilliant.
Yeah.
I don't know why some of these clubs are not being covered in the FA Cup, and I just do think it's outrageous.
Yeah, I think we're having trouble with Kaz, Martin. So, you know, all I'll say to sort of wrap it up is welcome back to this level. You always, always give us an interview, and I always enjoy it because as an interview, you just want questions asked or answered, and you certainly do that. Good luck, mate, and we'll speak to you soon.
Dave, it'd be nice to see you down at our ground. If you want to come down, you're more than welcome to come and join us and have a look round.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it.
And not you, Caroline.
She's gone. I think we've lost her. She's dropped off the line, Martin. So...
you two take care. See you later. Bye-bye.
Cheers, mate.
Bye, Dave. Bye, mate. Bye.
Bye, Martin. Thanks. Bye. Yeah.
Martin making that point, Dave, that we've heard over the past couple of weeks. And at what stage, I guess, does it start to make a difference about having a non-league team there? I will tell you that I've had a quiet word on the side with a number of interested parties in TV with a relation to the FA Cup and making a non-league team there. And I think they're open to it, but I also think they feel like perhaps it's the FA to just stream these matches anyway. So, of course, if you're the BBC or you're BT and you've got one chance to get Manchester United on the telly, would you go for that? that season. If you look at, you know, no Premier League TV for the BBC, for example. Not saying it's right. You know, I don't think it's right. But if that's their one chance to get Manchester United, then they're going to see the eyeballs maybe that might see it.
Yes, there is that argument, Kaz, but at this level of the cup, when you get non-league teams through to it, and I think, you know, the fact that, you know, Martin's been at Brentford and Eastleigh, Brentford is a perfect sort of the magic of the FA Cup stuff. Man United will be seen on TV around the world every week. And whether it's on BBC, BT, Sky, or whether it's on, I think that, and especially someone like the BBC, who were told it's licensed players pay their money and they try and do stuff a little bit different, I think they should be bigger and braver than that. And go, we're gonna cover the non-league side of it. We're gonna look at the magic of it, and we're gonna follow it from the very start right the way through. And I think that, I don't even know who Man United's playing, but say it's an all Premiership game, FA Cup game. I just think that something like Eastleigh Brentford is a much, much better, more chance of an upset. It's just the magic of the FA Cup. So as much as we hammer different people for taking away the magic of this great competition, I think TV companies have got a responsibility to it as well.
Hurrah. Hear, hear, and all of the above. Now, last week, of course, you do have a chance to listen to our managerial special again, but Dave, Mark, Gordon and Steve discussed the difficulties, which is difficulties and difficult to say, of football over the Christmas period. What with the player availability. You know, I said to you about reading out loud.
It's all right. Listen, it's okay. You'll get used to this presenter. You know,
I'll give it a go. You know what? Because you can't see currently how I'm sat talking to you in my studio. It's an interesting position. Anyway,
yes,
it's difficult, that stuff over Christmas. One striker has no complaints, though. Step forward, George Gaskin. The little Hampton Town player has been impressing this season. 21 goals for Shoreham. And 6 for Littlehampton before he signed dual registration forms for Horsham on Christmas Eve. I'll tell you what, let's George tell his story. Hiya, George.
Hello, you all right?
I'm all right. What about you? Tell me about these two games in a day then.
I went and played for Littlehampton, who I currently play for, in the morning at 11 o'clock on Boxing Day. And we won 4-1 and I scored a hat-trick. Then I got in the car and went up to Horsham to sit on the bench. Didn't really expect much as it was the first time I was going to play for him, helping out the manager. And he put me on with 15 minutes to go and I scored another hat-trick.
Of course you did. Brilliant.
I was going to ask, I mean, to be fair, George, did the Horsham manager know that you'd played in the morning?
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
because I always, you know, just speaking as a manager myself. If I had known you were scoring hat tricks, you wouldn't have been playing in the morning. You'd have been resting up for the start in the afternoon.
He's warming up.
Is this a sort of an agreement between the two clubs, the two managers, or just what's the situation? Or are you just getting your chance at Horsham now?
No, well, I play for Littlehampton and I'm good friends with Dom, the manager, and unfortunately their striker has got a nasty injury and he said about helping him out. And we don't really have many games for Littlehampton over the Christmas period and going into January, so it will keep me fit and obviously it will help him out as well. But it was just obviously got a chance and took it when he put me on the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, there's helping out and then there's helping out. And it was an 8-1 win too, wasn't it? I mean, you weren't greedy, you didn't keep them all to yourself.
Well, no, I was only on 13 minutes, I think, so.
That's unbelievable.
So, what's the total time for both hat-tricks then?
The first hat-trick was, for Luanza, it was a perfect hat-trick, actually, in 78 minutes. And then I think I got put on in the 75th minute. And I think I had 5 touches and scored 3 goals. So, in the second game.
Where were you when I was managing?
Staying well away.
Yeah.
So I make that 6 goals in 90 minutes then. I mean, yeah, it's got to be some kind of record, hasn't it, anyway?
Yeah, no one's stupid enough to play 2 games in 1 day, I don't think.
Yeah, but the thing I get as well, George, is play twice on Boxing Day, don't train on a Thursday night. How do you manage that? Thursday night, training night, shouldn't you be training?
No, not the standard we play. Not at Christmas.
Yeah, training is done at home, isn't it? It's sat in front of the... No, it's not. So where does this leave you now, George? Are you going to be allowed to play 2 games in 1 day again?
Well... No, well, I suppose I could, but there isn't any. I haven't got a game for Littlehampton like till the 20th, I think, of January now. So I'll be playing the next 3 or 4 games for Horsham. So, give me more chance to get a few more goals for the season as well. So,
to be fair, George, because we know that you sort of were a player manager for Littlehampton towards the end of the season. And sort of had a little go at it and stepped away.
God, it makes you sick, doesn't it?
Even
managers.
Yeah, but I think as well, Kaz, the time at Horsham now, you know, if you're going to go back into management down the line a bit, this will be a really good experience for you to see how other people work in different levels, you know?
Yeah, definitely, for sure. I've played for Dom before and I've played in that league before, but I think what's helped me the most is probably actually being a manager and seeing it from the other side and going back to just playing. You sort of respect everything that everybody does.
So have you had any big money offers for January then, George?
No, it's not the first yet.
Yeah, too right. Hold out for the big one. Hey, look, well done. I'm calling it now. I'm saying it's a record. Okay. We'll award it. And who cares about Guinness Book of Records? As long as we've said it is, so. Absolutely incredible feat. Dave, do you want to say anything else to him as in sign him up?
No, I just think it's a great achievement. And we've been around for 100 years. And I've known people who haven't scored 6 goals in a warm-up, never mind in a day. Do you know what I mean? So
in a season.
In a season, yeah. So, no, brilliant. Well done, mate. Brilliant.
Thanks.
Well played, George. Thanks for coming on
Thank
the
you.
Show and all the best of luck for the next hat-trick as well. That was his fifth of the season, by the way. Well done, George. Off he goes to score another 3. Two matches. I don't know if I could sit through 2 matches, Dave, although we did. Do you remember that year for non-league day when we had 3 matches in the day that we went to see, let alone playing in them?
Yeah, no, there's not many footballers turn up on a Saturday night with 2 balls.
Let's just leave that one there, shall we? Oh, dear. Yeah, sign him up someday soon, hopefully, George. What a story that is, then. 2 hat-tricks in a day, 2 teams in a day, 2 almighty wins in a day for him, too. If you have a story that you've seen, you'd like us to talk about your club, you can get in touch with us at Non-League Show on social media to be part of it. Now for the ad break, Dave Anson. I'm going to keep this short. Nearly 2017, make a smart decision for once in your life. I'm directing at this you, Dave. After picking up over 100,000 members, Cornerstone are now so confident that once men try their razor and shaving products, they won't go back. So you can get this award-winning razor for just £4, with £10 off. Just visit cornerstone.co.uk/NL show, cornerstone.co.uk/NL show, to keep Dave Anson in razors. I haven't listened back to how that went for you last week, Dave.
I got Mickey Mouse to read it.
Did you?
Yeah.
I wasn't available.
Listen back. As people will know that everything I say on this show is off the top of my head because reading is not my forte.
Forte? We're talking earlier about Dave Tarpey and Maidenhead United offered in for him. Martin Allen saying as well they're going to have a look for some players possibly in the lower reaches come January too. You want to say something?
No, I was going to, well, because I know you sort of, we lost you just towards the end of Martin's interview. I just think, you know, he just answers things differently, doesn't he, Martin? You know, we get 1 million people on and he just tells it how it is, how he sees it, and I just think it's real, it's just a breath of fresh air. It's not the run-of-the-mill average stuff. He just says how he feels. So I'm delighted to have him back at our level again, to be honest.
Yeah, and if players do get their chance at Eastleigh too, I know he says target the playoffs, but should they get in the playoffs, the spirit that he kind of engendered in his side, you'd imagine you wouldn't want to face him anyway, would you?
No, you wouldn't. I just think, and you know how good I am at predicting, I think they're just a little bit too far away from it. So there you go. Eastleigh will be in the Football League next year. You heard of, I think they're a little bit too far outside of the playoffs, and maybe Martin was sort of trying to say that. But this time next year, you know, have some money on them.
So Eastleigh over Christmas Martin, saying obviously looking for improvement from them. National League on Boxing Day, Tranmere's win over Macclesfield. Lincoln's defeat at Guiseley as well. That's all Mickey Mellon's men take top spot in the division into the new year. Nicky Cowley, the team at Lincoln, we won't be overly concerned about that defeat, will they?
Nicky Cowley or Danny Cowley?
Nicky, will he both be worrying about Danny? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See, Nicky, I was right. Don't try and catch me out.
No.
The brother's not so grim.
No, I think that they will be delighted where they are. They've moved the club forward quickly. But when you get them into the position that they're in now, they'll want to sort of see it through. And I think that the next sort of 3 months of the National Premier, whatever it's called, the Grand National, will be really, really good this year.
Dave Anson then on the Non-League Show, at Non-League Show for your thoughts, as always, keep them coming. Now, we've covered many a ground hop over the years, and the 2016 draws to a close. A small ad in the top corner of the Christmas issue of the Non-League paper drew our BDI to it, Non-League Mystery Tours. It reads like this: ever fancied boarding a luxury 16-seater minibus and being ferried to a game without the faintest idea of where you're heading? The Non-League Mystery Tours is for you. Sounds like your regular Saturday night out.
Sounds like every away game I went on.
Let's talk to Andy Sawyer, who can tell us more. Hiya, Andy.
Hi, Cameron. How are you doing?
I'm all right, fella. How will I be doing if I go on this mystery tour? What's it about?
Well, I'm hoping what you'll get is a fun day out, a great game of football, which, of course, nobody can ever guarantee, but that's what we're hoping for. the idea really is just, the idea was that from a friend of mine, the two of us are running this thing together, and we're both kind of disillusioned with like top level football. We both like to go to non-league games. We're trying to sort of encourage people to join in, really. So the idea is you get on to, as it says, a luxury 16 seat minibus and just get whisked off to a ground where you have absolutely no idea where you're going.
I mean, the first point of that, Andy, is I've been to many a non-league match on a bus, and it was so far from luxury. So that is your one step up anyway. So it's likely to be, I take it, something in your area? Or is it,
We're both based in South East London, and we're looking at anywhere within a 3 to 3.5 hour sort of drive of London, basically. So we've got a couple lined up for the first two. We've contacted our first victims, and they're very thrilled about hosting the first non-league mystery tour. So yeah, the idea is that when we turn up at the ground, we'll have a corner of the club bar, a plate of food, a sort of complimentary drink, complimentary program, hopefully a warm welcome from the club involved. And then settle down and watch the game, and we're going to chuck in a couple more surprises as well, just to hopefully make the day, make the journey a bit more enjoyable than just kind of sitting on the bus. That's the idea, just to kind of make it a bit of a day out, really.
And Andy, when will you actually break the news to the? So if I turn up at sort of 11:30 and get on the bus, will you actually break the news as to where we're going?
No. The idea is just to keep you guessing until we arrive. I mean, actually, the concept, my mate who came up with the concept, he took me and a couple of friends on a mystery day out many years ago, back in the days when clubs played games on Easter Friday, Easter Saturday, Easter Monday. One Easter Friday, we jumped into his car at some ungodly hour, and we just drove and drove and drove, and eventually we arrived at Wigan for an 11 o'clock kickoff, and then we went to Blackburn Rovers for a 3 o'clock kickoff, and then we went to Crewe for a 7:30 kickoff on the way back. And me and he knew where we were going, but none of us did. And it was just a brilliant day out, you know, to kind of suddenly, and we were all kind of trying to guess where we were going. So yeah, the idea is that is the secret is kept until, you know, possibly the moment we arrive at the ground. But I'm sure people would have kind of sussed out vaguely where we're going before that point.
So the next one's on the 21st of January. I was about to say, do you have room for a little one and invite you to take Dave? But, I mean, there's two problems with that. Room for a little one.
Well, I'll tell you what the big problem is. It says, first drink free.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, maybe if we've got a special guest on board, we could splash out and get you a second one. Who knows?
Yeah, well, that's not ruling out there. I'm easy bought.
Okay, all right.
To be fair, oh, great, Andy. I think it's a great idea. In as much as, you know, being a football non-league manager for 100 years, a big part of what you bump into is groundhoppers. You know, there's loads of them, and they turn up from everywhere. And some of them will come and say hello because of the show and that. But they would go off, come from here, come from there, and. You know, and so I think it's ground hopping with bells on, and it's a luxury, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think for both of us, both me and mate Steve, who come up with the idea, we just both love watching live football at any level, whatever it is. We've been to loads and loads of games together. We're planning on going to loads more. For me, you know, he came up with the idea, and I thought, great, you know, basically I'm doing the driving, but I get to go and watch a game. You know, it's fantastic. So, and I'm hoping as well that obviously we've got a group of sort of like-minded people on board. We're going to, you know, people will be able to chat about their own sort of football experiences, and we'll get a bit of an atmosphere going on the bus as well. But, you know, the idea really is just a little bit of a, just a sort of off the wall trip, you know, just with a little bit of fun involved, really.
And of course, there's a bit of a benefit to the non-league ground that you turn up to the club too, to get a bit of extra revenue into them. So if clubs want to maybe appeal for you to come to their ground without letting people know which one it is, can they get in touch with you? And if, more importantly, someone like Dave Anson wants to get on the bus, how do they,
yeah.
Right, okay, all right, okay. Well, we've got a Facebook page, which is probably the best way of getting hold of us. And that's www.facebook.com/non-league-mystery-tours. And we've got an email address, which is nonleaguemysterytours@gmx.co.uk. So they're the best ways of getting in touch. And, you know, all are welcome. You know, anyone who's a football fan and fancies a nice day out, that's what we're aiming for, really.
Yeah, we should say it's 85 quid all in, but that's your petrol, I guess, admission, lunch.
That includes everything. I mean, the price will vary on depending where we're going. So we contact the clubs and they'll set a price for all the stuff that we're offering. So yeah, the admission price, program, drinks, food are included, as well as the luxury trip there and back.
Well, brilliant. I'm all for a luxury trip. As long as there's a microwave on board, then we're all right. And a toilet. Andy, all the best with it. Fingers crossed we can get Dave on there at some point too. And good luck
with it.
That'd
be great, yeah.
Coming to a ground near you soon. Andy Sawyer and his non-league mystery tours. Do you fancy yourself as a bit of a tour guide, Dave?
I wouldn't say a tour guide. I'm useless at that. But I do think it's a really good idea. I'd love to see how it goes. Because it's like anything, you know, if you get 10, 15 people on a minibus who support different non-league sides, who support it, football in general, then the conversation would be great, good fun, couple of beers, you know, it's a winner in my book.
Only in non-league too. That's
absolutely, yeah. Special. Absolutely.
Talking of special, go home and have a listen to Sutton United's song that the fans have released to celebrate their FA Cup success. Not sex. I mean, they might be celebrating FA Cup success as well.
What sort of videos are they doing these days?
Maybe don't look at that on my computer. That's silly. I'm going to end it there. It'll be a short and sweet one this week. Less of the sweet. Do go back and listen to Dave's show, the managerial special from last week, and any of our shows from 2016 too. Go on.
I would say that I got dogs abuse for us not doing a Christmas song this year. So, you know, we might need to do one in the new year, because I even got abused in my own house about it, which is which isn't the thing. But so I can only apologise. It was a stressful week for me, and the boss wasn't well. So that's my excuse anyway, boss. Yeah.
Yeah. Blame it on me. Why don't you? So I get dogs abused too. Well, new for 2017, a song a week. We'll just introduce that feature. This is our last one of 2016. My thanks to you, Dave Anson, to Dave Waters as well for your regular attendance. All the managers, the secretaries, the chairman, the volunteers that pick up the phone, the fans that talk to us as well. It's been a bit of a challenging one with new homes and the like, but having you around us, having you downloading the show, having you listening to the show makes all the difference. To a reminder, you find us on Audio Boom, on iTunes, as you have done now. And if you go on those places, if you can, try and give us a bit of a rating too, as long as it's a good one. And also, you can put the show on your website. Just go to nonleaguefootballshow.com and there's a player on there you can download and have us on your club website too. If there is a story you'd like to share, you can get in touch. And you can find Dave on that Magical Mystery Tour. It's pretty much like that every week. Thank you, Dave. Thank you to you for listening as well. A happy new year to all. We will see you in 2017. I've just realised I've not given you an opportunity to say anything final. Anything final?
No, just happy new year to you and everyone on the show and everyone that listens to it. Hopefully we'll see them in 17.
So essentially what I just said. David Anson,
only in a Belfast accent.
Repeating. Yeah. He repeats on you to save Anson, but it's well worth it every time.
Happy day.
Lovely.